Weather is brought to you on WVOX Worldwide by Entergy and the Indian Point Energy Center, right for New York.
Every day, New Yorkers depend upon the clean and reliable electricity provided by Indian Point. On an average day, Indian Point provides about a quarter of the electricity for New York City and Westchester at lower cost than other power plants and helps our efforts to improve air quality. You have a right to know the facts about Indian Point. Because when talk turns to extending the licenses of these plants, we all need to remember how important Indian Point is to New York. For instance, did you know that without Indian Point's lower cost power, our electric rates would be much higher? And that an equivalent gas-fired power plant would pour millions of tons of pollutants a year into the air we breathe? And that the independent experts in charge of New York's electric grid have said that the city could face rolling blackouts without Indian Point? I'm Teresa Motko, and I'm an engineer here at Indian Point, and my family and I live in the area. All of us have a right to know why Indian Point is right for New York. Visit rightfornewyork.com for answers.
From the historic city of New Rochelle, home of The Dick Van Dyke Show, Arnie Klugman, Avalon on the Sound, and the Sound Shore Medical Center of Westchester, the great and growing hospital for you and yours.
Thank you for joining us on 1460 WVOX, America's great community radio station where many different voices are heard in the land. Opinions expressed on our community and open line programs are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or sponsors. As always, we're privileged to amplify the voice of the people here on Vox Populi 1460 and worldwide at WVOX.com for you and yours.
So when do you listen?
All the time.
Night, day, and in between.
We're always here for you. VOX.
1460 WVOX.
Good morning and welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Lovensold, your host for the series on the natural world, education, and culture, and chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, July 26th, 2012, the 37th day of summer. We are over a third into summer. We have lost 2 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 22 since last we met 2 weeks ago. We will continue to lose minutes a day until the winter solstice, December 21st, the first day of winter, and at which time it will be cold. The days will be short, but they will start getting longer. The sun rose at 5:46 this morning. It will set at 8:17 this evening. We will have 14 hours and 31 minutes of daylight today. The moon will rise at 4 this afternoon. It will set at 17 minutes after midnight tomorrow morning. We reach first quarter phase today, and the next full moon is August 2nd. Unfortunately, we do not have tide information today, but it does rise and fall twice today. We are on the air. Now our regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war. May they live on in all of our hearts. Sergeant Eric E. Williams, age 27, of Murrieta, California. He was with the 82nd Airborne Division, killed by an insurgent attack in Pul-e-Alam, Afghanistan, on July 23rd. Staff Sergeant Richard L. Berry, age 27, of Scottsdale, Arizona. He was also with the 82nd Airborne, one of two soldiers killed by a roadside bomb during combat in Kandahar Province, July 22nd. Staff Sergeant Berry was one of two soldiers killed by the roadside bomb during combat in Kandahar on July 22nd. The other was Private First Class Julian L. Colvin, age 21, of Birmingham, Alabama, and he was also with the 82nd. Staff Sergeant Brandon R. Pepper, age 31, from York, Pennsylvania, was with the 3rd Special Forces Group. He was killed on patrol in Ghazni Province on July 21st. Petty Officer, and that's a Navy rank, Petty Officer 2nd Class Michael J. Brodsky, age 33, of Tamarack, Florida. My parents had a place in Tamarack for years. He was with the Southwest Security Detachment. He died of injuries sustained by a roadside bomb during patrol in Kandahar province. The injuries were sustained on July 7th. He died at Landstuhl Medical Center in Germany on the 21st. So he hung on for 2 weeks, 14 days. Corporal Joshua R. Ashley, age 23, of Rancho Cucamonga, California, with the 2nd Marine Expeditionary Force. He was a military dog handler, killed by a roadside bomb in Helmand Province, July 19th. Private First Class Jeffrey Leon Rice, age 24, of Troy, Ohio. He was with the 36th Engineer Brigade. He died in Kandahar, Afghanistan. It doesn't give any further details. On July 19th. Specialist Darian T. Hicks, age 21, of Raleigh, North Carolina, with the 18th Engineer Brigade, killed by a roadside bomb in Ghazni, Afghanistan. These are all Afghanistan. On July 19th. Sergeant Daniel A. Rodriguez, age 28, of Baltimore, Maryland, and Sergeant Jose J. Reyes, age 24, of San Lorenzo, Puerto Rico, both with the 10th Mountain Division, both were killed when their vehicle was struck by a roadside bomb in Ghazni on July 18th. Specialist Crystal M. Fitz, age 26, of Houston, Texas. She was a female engagement team member assigned to the 4th Brigade Combat Team of the 82nd Airborne Division, killed when her combat outpost came under fire in Kandahar, July 17th. Specialist Sergio Eduardo Perez Jr., age 21, of Crown Point, Indiana. He was with the Indiana Army National Guard, one of two soldiers killed when their vehicle was struck by rocket-propelled grenades in Kandahar Province on July 16th. The other one killed in that same incident was Specialist Nicholas Andrew Taylor, age 20, of Bern, Indiana. Staff Sergeant Carl E. Hammer, age 24, of Lake Havasu City, Arizona, 25th Infantry, killed by small arms fire in Coast Province on Bastille Day, July 14th. Sergeant Eric N. May, age 26, of Independence, Kansas. He was with the 1st Infantry. May was found unresponsive and pronounced dead at a medical facility in Ghazni Province on July 14th. And that's one of those mysteries of those who die in combat zones but aren't killed in combat. We know that many of them are suicides, but they don't specify. Sergeant Michael E. Ristow, age 25, of Rockford, Illinois. He was with 2nd Infantry, killed when his vehicle was struck by a roadside bomb in Zabel Province on July 13th. These 16 American servicemen were alive when last we met 2 weeks ago. So how many are out there now? Hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, all at risk for their lives at this moment. And we go on overeating, indulging ourselves, arguing partisan politics. These 16 died so that we can. Think of them. Each death is a great loss to their families and to all Americans. May they live forever in our hearts. And may this feature come to an end in the near future, because there are no more deaths to report. Well, this is time for the Culture Corner. My reviews of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, what have you. Keep in mind that these are my opinions and you have the right to disagree with them, because everyone has the right to be wrong. But we have no reviews, so you do not have the right to be wrong this week. There is no review at all. My guest today is Bruce Apar, Westchester media maven, actor, cable TV host, joining me right here in the WVOX studio. Welcome, Bruce Apar.
Thank you, Bob. It was quite an adventure, but here I am.
Here you are. You got lost, but you're here on time, so it works out. It's beautiful. Well, we met at a theater company, the Armand Players. We played opposite each other at Fools. Great experience. We have a couple of minutes before our first break. Why don't we just kick that around a little bit? What is your theater background?
Well, I mean, up until a couple of years ago, it was strictly high school. And then, you know, whatever, 40 years later, I decided I wanted to get back into it. And so it was in the fall of 2010, a friend of mine who runs Yorktown Stage in Yorktown, Barry Liebman, just decided that I would make a credible rabbi in Fiddler on the Roof. And so I went into that show. It was a lot of fun. I loved it. And I said to my wife, and I said to myself, I want to keep doing this. And then I was in Prisoner of Second Avenue, you know, also Neil Simon, as was our show, Fools.
Fools was one of his lesser plays. Yes.
Yeah, since last fall, I've been in, I think, four or five shows. It's a lot of fun, as you know.
It's fun, and you're talented, and, yeah. And you
well,
have...
Well, I mean, I'm a totally neophyte actor, but I enjoy it. I want to get better. I like to take lessons. But you know what I tell people, you know, especially for your listeners to relate to it, it's like my bowling league. Really, it's, you know... I mean, I have a day job at Chase Media Group, you know, which publishes The Penny Saver, and people do all kinds of things in the spare time, and including bowling, spares and strikes, and for me, and I guess for you, it's acting at night.
Well, I am a writer and a producer more than an actor, but every once in a while I do act. This was a fun role.
That's what I'm saying. It's an avocation.
We had a really strong director, Pia Hasse.
Yeah, no, but she got the most out of us.
Well, you know, at first we grumbled a little bit because she's so forceful and and she wants to rehearse.
She's like a drill instructor.
And she changed, exactly. Yeah. And she changes things and changes things. But I remember when I was rehearsing with my my duet, which we played out, me and guitar, Mr. Bob and Howie, we played out a lot. And I would beat him up, just make him, let's play this song again. Oh, Bob, we just did it five times. It's not perfect yet. Again, again, again. Then, of course, when you're on stage, if it's not perfect, okay.
Right.
It doesn't have to be perfect, but you have to get it in rehearsal perfect.
Right.
And then you do the best you can.
Right.
Right? That's
no, I mean, listen, it's all in the name of quality, right? And giving the audience their money's worth, so to speak.
Now, Westchester Broadway Theater is doing Fiddler later on this season. Do you know that?
Yes, no, I know. And actually, they're doing Music Man now, and I had heard that the fellow playing the mayor can't continue into August, and somebody said I should try out. But, well, for one, I didn't get invited to an audition to try out. But, you know, Westchester Broadway Theater is much more of a professional outfit, and I don't see how you can have a full-time day job and do that. I mean, because you're going to have to rehearse during the day.
Well, it is an equity-based...
Right, and they have performances like three, four times a week for at least a month.
All right. Bruce Apar is my guest. We're going to have to take a short break. We'll be back in about 5 minutes to continue with this. Well, something seems to be missing here. So, here we go. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Umpire, Arkansas, Cooperstown, New York, Knuckles, Hooker, or Fanny, Arkansas, Igo or Ono, California, Fort Dick, California, or Fort Dix, New Jersey, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. You are listening live, and we will be right back.
With business news at 20 minutes past the hour, every hour. Here's the latest update from the Fox Business Network on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox Business Network Wall Street is rallying on some news out of Europe. Europe's central bank chief Mario Draghi is vowing to do whatever it takes to preserve the continent's monetary union. Better than expected reports on the U.S. economy are also pushing the markets higher. At 10 a.m. Eastern, the Dow is up more than 200 points. Shares of Whole Foods are on the rise as well after the upscale supermarket chain reported better than expected earnings. The company also raised its earning target for the rest of the year. In addition, Whole Foods outlined plans to open up to 70 new stores over the next 2 years. That's on top of the 25 stores the grocer's opening this year. And call it twiplomacy. Nearly two-thirds of the world leaders now have a Twitter account, according to a study by public relations firm Burson Marsteller. 16 of the group of 20 world leaders actively use the social media site to tweet about public diplomacy, and President Obama is the most followed world leader. With the Fox Business Report, I'm Diane Macedo.
Do you have dark circles or puffy eyes? Every listener who calls now will learn how to get a free jar of Lumitone, the cream that fades dark circles from view in seconds. And Lumitone is great for puffiness, bags, and fine lines by the eyes. You only pay shipping and handling. Call us now for details on this Lumitone free offer. Just call 1-800-511-2328. That's 1-800-511-2328. Call 1-800-511-2328.
You're listening to America's great community radio station from Westchester, the Golden Apple. This is WVOX Worldwide, AM 1460 and WVOX.com.
1460 WVOX.
We are back. I am Bob Levinson. The program is Environmentally Sound. The station is WVOX AM 1460 out of New Rochelle, New York. My guest is Bruce Apar. Bruce.
Bob. Now that we've acknowledged each other.
You work for the Chase Media Group. Does that have any connection with Chase Bank?
No. Okay. No, other than the fact that we do our banking at Chase Bank.
At Chase.
But yeah, Chase Media Group, up until a few years ago, was better known for about 50 years as the Yorktown Penny Saver Corporation.
Okay.
It's the leading penny saver in this whole region, actually. We print and distribute about 250,000 copies a week into people's mailboxes. Yeah. And, of course, nowadays, because of the nature of media and, you know, Penny Saver has a very strong equity, you know, and brand, you know, recognition. But, you know, as with every other media company that's rooted in print media, we're getting into digital and, you know, the internet and everything else. You have to.
So the 250,000 copies, that's different editions, I presume, not all.
Yes, there is. Yeah, we go all the way from White Plains up into Dutchess County.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And you run mostly ads? Or?
Yeah, it's advertising, and we do some editorial in there. I mean, I was actually hired at the company almost exactly 6 years ago to the day to be the publisher of a weekly newspaper, North County News, that had been around for 40 years. We stopped publishing that last year. I think anybody out there is fairly aware that the state of printed newspapers these days is, you know, it's in its twilight, to say the least.
The internet has changed a lot.
Right, and so...
Which is good, because paper doesn't have to get wasted anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the nature of things. It's technology, but it's not just technology. It's human behavior is changing. You know, it lags a little bit behind the technology, but now people are migrating more and more to a digital media to get their information and to interact with each other.
Well, since newspaper is obsolete the second it's printed, something else is happening. You know, it's a photograph of let's say 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
It's a photograph. But by 6 o'clock, when people are getting it delivered to them, they're reading 3-hour-old news. And in today's
no, you're absolutely right.
World, Fox and Vox and every other station, CBS, NBC, ABC, and BBC, they all have news as of 6 a.m., so
right.
You're getting the freshest. You know?
No, news, you know, we used to, of course, in the print news world, talk about deadlines, but, you know, now every second is another deadline. You know, news is constant. It's
That's right.
A 24/7 cycle. And the thing is, what's spreading very rapidly across the country at major daily newspapers is that, you know, one by one, they're shifting from daily to 3-4 times a week. They're not going to be printing them.
Yeah, they're more magazines,
daily. Yeah.
I guess.
You know, it's based obviously on advertising. I mean, Saturdays and Mondays for newspapers are the slowest ad days, and so they're cutting those days out.
So like at 3 o'clock this morning, they were predicting thunderstorms.
Right.
Well, the thunderstorms have come and gone, and it's 10:30, and it hasn't rained for a couple hours already. So you know, that's the news is what's happening now. But there's not that much news.
I don't know, but I beg to differ. What do you mean there's not much news?
Well, what do you need to know that's happening in the world, really? Do you really need to know about Syria? Do you really need to know about massacres? Do you really need that?
Well, you're speaking about to the extent that it affects you personally, right? Or that, as I like to put it, how does it affect your quality of life?
Right.
No, I mean, you're right. I mean, that's a very good question. I write a blog called Bruce the Blog, that gets picked up in the weekly Penny Saver because I control what goes in there editorially.
You're the publisher, right?
Right. And but at the same time, and actually the publisher is Carla Chase, who owns the company, and her father founded it in '58. I work with her very well. We're very close friends as well. But so I wrote this blog, and I've been posting my blog daily, actually, just about, you know, what we're talking about is that what is it about the human condition that attracts people to the most bloodthirsty type stories? And the most recent high profile examples are, of course, the massacre at the theater in Aurora, Colorado, but in a different sense context, the Penn State scandal.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you watch cable news, it's constant and it's redundant over and over, days on end, even when there's nothing
new. Well, they loop it. They just play the same.
Right. And even when there's nothing new to report, they'll milk it as much as they can by finding people to interview.
So what was this discussion that you had with the publisher as far as why we need all this? What was the importance of it?
Well, no. So what I was saying is I did my blog. It's called Bruce the Blog, and people can go to pennysavercommunity.com and, you know, and see it, see my blog that, I try to update every day. It gets picked up by Patch as well, some of the patches. Just that, one, as you said before, Bob, it used to be that we would go to a newspaper. We would go and sit down to wherever the TV was in our house. So, you know, those places, you know, the newspaper, the TV were fixed in position. You had to go to it. Now the news is coming to us, and we're customizing, you know, what news we want to get. You know, the news conforms to our personal whereabouts, to our tastes.
Okay, so let's say we choose what news we want delivered to us. So let's say we don't want massacres, but we do want Penn State. So we don't even hear about the massacre, but we hear about the Penn State. We can do that, right? Okay. So still, what does it feed in us? Now, I can tell you what the Penn State thing feeds in me. It gives me kind of a sense that justice was done. I like that. I like the feeling of justice. I think there's some of that in baseball. You can't lie about baseball. He's out, he's out. If it's a close call, you can fight about it.
There could be a wrong call, as there is.
There are occasionally wrong calls, but we hope in the sense of justice and fairness that they're random and that umpires don't favor any particular team. So if the Yankees get some calls, they lose others.
Yeah, right. I agree with you. I feel
and same with all sports.
It always evens out, and the umpires don't really determine the outcome of the game.
Right,
the players and the coaches, managers,
or certainly of the season, they might have an effect on a single game. But when you see a tackle, you know the guy went down. You see him fumble, you know it. It's not like some politician saying, he fumbled. You don't believe that,
right?
So I've always thought that maybe the reason for athletic participation and spectatorship had to do with we're seeing something real in a world where we can't trust anything.
I think in the case of Penn State, my feeling and take on it is that Penn State has a football fetish, as do many major colleges, that by now is obviously unhealthy. The problem is that there unfortunately are people around us who live their lives through football or whatever sport it is that they may be fanatical about, and they let that determine their state of mind, in some cases day to day, or their biorhythm or their emotional state, instead of it being just a diversion. They take it too seriously. I think the Penn State scandal is a object lesson that helps, especially younger people. This should be an object lesson to them. Like, something, sports has its place. It shouldn't rule your life.
Okay, we're going to come back to that discussion. Okay. You are listening to WVOX AM 1460, broadcasting out of New Rochelle, New York. If you are listening in Tarzana, Florida, or California, Eureka, Zizidid, California, Timbuktu, Mali, or California. Yes, there is a Timbuktu in California. Do Stop, Crummies, or Drip Rock, Kentucky, or Asselwoman Bay, Maryland. You have logged on to www.wvox.com, and you are listening live. And we will be back with Bruce Apar in just one moment.
World and national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. The big rally on Wall Street. Thanks to news from Europe and Washington, the Dow is up 217 points.
That surge in response to vows by the European Central Bank to do whatever it takes to save the Eurozone. Investors further cheered by a report on jobless claims, which fell far more than expected to their lowest level in 4 years. Durable goods orders up almost triple the expected rise.
Fox Business Network's Dennis Neal in New York. Also this morning, Freddie Mac reports yet another new low for its home loan rate, the 30-year mortgage now at 3.49%. A court intervenes in a dispute involving Michael Jackson's family.
California Superior Court judges temporarily appointed Michael Jackson's nephew, Tito Jackson Jr., as the caretaker of his three children. Michael's mother, Catherine, was removed from the guardianship after conflicting reports over her health and her whereabouts.
Fox's Ainsley Earhart. Fox News. We report, you decide.
Now in Westchester, for corporate travel, executive transportation, and custom limousine service, the leader, clearly, is Excel. After 2 decades in the county, Rich Guberti's Excel Transportation Service does just that. Specializing in sedans, limos, and 14-passenger vans, Excel is the new class of the fleet and the Westchester leader in terms of cars, service, resources, and the quality of their Excel drivers. Most of the Golden Apple's blue-chip companies have, in fact, in recent years, switched to Excel for local transportation and city-to-city service to Washington, Albany, Baltimore, Hartford, Boston, and Philadelphia at rates even less than rail or air. And you can use them too for a trip into town, the airport, or any special occasion. Call President Rich Guberti at Excel Headquarters, EXCEL Transportation, 576-9797, 914-576-9797. These days in Westchester, the new car service leader, because Excel excels. 576-9797.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Updated weather forecast for today. We have the possibility of a few showers this morning, then becoming partly sunny midday. Another round of showers and heavy thunderstorms are possible for later this afternoon and this evening, some with strong gusty winds, heavy downpours, even the chance of some hail. Our high temperatures for today will range between 90 and 95. For tonight, cloudy, showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly during the evening. Again, some locally severe overnight low temperatures, mid-70s. It'll be clouds and sunshine on Friday, with a chance of showers and thunderstorms at 40% tomorrow. Highs will reach the lower 90s. Thunderstorms and muggy weather at night, nighttime lows, lower 70s. Then on Saturday, look for partial sunshine. Still the chance of a shower or a thunderstorm. Or high temperatures for the day in the mid-80s only on Saturday. Sunday's weather mostly sunny, mid-80s. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD.
No matter where you go.
Driving in truck all day long.
Driving to work.
We're right there with you. WVOX Worldwide.
1460 WVOX.
We are back. You are listening to WVOX Radio in New Rochelle, New York. I am Bob Levinsohn. This program is environmentally sound. I'd like to invite anybody who'd like to speak with me or Bruce Apar to call in, if you like. We are at 636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. We were talking to Bruce about his media connections, and Bruce has stepped out for just a second. So I'm going to go to something else for just a second until he returns. Let's just talk about the percentage of Americans who believe that our culture is superior to others. In 2002, 60% of Americans believed our culture is superior. The percentage of those who believe that today is 49%. So 11% have become a bit disillusioned, and less than half of Americans think that our culture is superior. Factor by which the number of Americans aged 90 and over has increased since 1980 is 3. In other words, there are 3 times as many. Okay, Bruce has returned to us. Bruce, I just filled in with a couple of interesting tidbits.
Okay.
And we were talking about sports. And the implicit question also is since I say there is no news, you say there's plenty of news. I guess we have to define news.
Define news, right.
But also the passion of a person. Like, if I'm oblivious to what's going on in the world and the war doesn't come to my house and the poverty doesn't strike me and the hurricane doesn't take my house away, what's the difference?
Well, I think we need to have an awareness of the world around us. Now, in the case of the horrible massacre in Colorado that everybody understandably is still fixated on, I could tell you anecdotally, it was either the day the news broke or the next day, you know, I have on my refrigerator some free movie theater tickets that, you know, I got through my company. And I looked at the theater tickets. I go, oh, you know, we haven't used the free tickets yet. We should go. And my immediate next thought was, I don't know that I want to be in a movie theater right now. Because as has been, you know, widely reported already, the whole copycat syndrome. And right. So that affected me. If I didn't know about the you know, the Colorado massacre. It wouldn't have mattered, well, but I did know about it, and so it's a cautionary tale.
It affected you negatively because the chances of that happening in your theater are lightning striking it.
Well, of course, but it's still scary as all heck, you know, to be aware of that and to know that there are.
But you need that kind of scary stuff in your life. Like when you listen to the paper. Yeah,
yes, you need the scary stuff to contrast to the good stuff.
I don't think so.
It's the old story, Bob, is without pain, there's no pleasure. Right? If you don't know pain, how do you know what pleasure is?
I would rather never have to wear tight shoes, and I'm very comfortable in my comfortable shoes.
Well, that's a fairly bearable pain.
but we all are going to bear the pain of the death of loved ones, of certain illnesses.
So, I think, as you know, we lost our son 9 years ago. Yeah, so I've been through my life, you know, a lot of very immediate losses. You know, my mother when I was 9 years old, my brother when I was 23, so... But what I'm saying is, something I've learned from that, too, and I like to think it's made me a better person. So there's always something that you can derive that's good and useful, you know, even from the worst losses or tragedies in your life. You know?
Well, from that which touches you personally, of course. But that's not news. It's not broadcast. It's just what is happening in your life, not in the world.
It's life, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, the other day I was... a radio went off when I was sleeping, and I heard about a traffic accident where a child was killed in Queens. Do I really need to wake up to that? Do I really need to know that a child was killed? I know children get killed. I know there are massacres, and as far as that massacre out in Colorado, there are. And we know now that besides copycat, every once in a while, there's going to be some massacres. So I have to know, but do I have to listen to it and be...
Now, what I blogged about that I was referring to earlier, which...
Yes.
By the way, I'm what I like to call a pun slinger, and I guess that's a pun in itself, isn't it? Right. But one of my favorite parts about journalism is writing headlines. So the one I wrote for this was Profiles in Carnage, and I wrote about, like I was saying, the human condition in terms of what kind of news we gravitate to or are pulled. Into, when you know the kinds of things you're talking about, it's the chicken or egg syndrome. Do they report things like accidents and the police blotter is a staple, you know, in newspapers and online, because they're pandering to us, or it's because they know that's what people want, what people demand.
Well, you know what? And now here, let me bounce this off you. The plutocrats. Ladies and gentlemen, you live in a plutocracy, not a democracy, a government, a country run by and for the rich. The plutocrats want us to be confused. They want us to be consumers. So they tell us how bad we smell, so we need deodorant. How they give us a headache. Remember the old Excedrin headache commercials? This is Excedrin headache 64, Excedrin headache 128. They actually paint a scenario that could give someone a headache. They give it a number and they say, and then they give you a headache with the commercial. You need the Excedrin for this.
Right.
They give you the ailment so they can pump drugs into you.
Yeah, no. And you know, there's definitely, I mean, I think that's, I think a heightened view of the situation, which a lot of people share, you know, what you just articulated. But what's also interesting in the same vein is the media and media saturation is what we're looking at now, right? We only become, the world and our individual lives only become more saturated with media. Is that a substitute for our thinking, right? People don't think independently enough.
Great question.
So I think what you're saying is, you know, like about some of the, you know, really marginal or gossipy news stories that, you know, we fill up our time with, and we were talking
don't
about...
Don't say we, because I don't, but...
Okay,
yes.
I'm using the generic we, right?
Right. Many, many, many people do. They get
okay, and I'm guilty of it myself, you know, I readily admit that. But it's almost like it's a substitute for thinking on our own, right? For creativity.
Right, and the plutocrats are invested in that because they make us consumers.
Well, I keep reminding people is... media is a business, first and foremost.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a business, and everything that media does and how it behaves revolves around that fact, right?
Except for this show and this station so much. We actually discuss ideas here. We're not pumping out a lot of products.
Right.
Yes, it's a commercial station. Yes, we have commercials. But at no time does the ownership of the station, Bill O'Shaughnessy, tell us what to say or what not to say, except, you know, avoid vulgarity. That's it.
Right.
But you can be as far left or as far right. And he is the most staunch defender of First Amendment and free speech rights that I've ever met.
Right. It's
beautiful.
True. Right. And it is true that as with, I don't know, Mr. Shaughnessy, but as with people like him, Mr. O'Shaughnessy, as you're describing him, there are business people who have altruistic, right, motives.
Yes, absolutely.
Right, so he's one of them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I have known some and I've learned from them. People who in the hospitality industry, and the only way to succeed in hospitality is to be hospitable.
Right.
So in the hospitality industry, if you really want people to have a good time and pay you and you make a profit while they're having a good time, it's not just about, well, how much can I squeeze out of them? It's how much of a good time can I give them? They'll be grateful.
Right.
I will reap the
rewards.
It'll
come back to you. Yes, that's right. So, it'll come back later.
So I think that's beautiful. And so then there's the question of sports. How much do we, there are people whose whole lives are, as you said before, either baseball or football. Or if you listen to The Fan ever, which I occasionally do, it's 6:60 a.m., there are guys on there, Mike, forget his last name, but there's a few guys. They know all about every sport. They could talk about hockey, football, tennis, golf, Olympic, anything. That is their whole life, and they seem happy, and they're probably prosperous. Well, there's nothing wrong with it, but what else can one do with one's mental activity and one's time?
Again, you know, I blogged about this, too. I like to blog about all kinds of different topics and subjects like the things we're talking about right now. But I think to be a rabid, really rabid sports fan, that part of your life tends to be irrational. In other words, when you're rooting for a player on your home team, on your favorite teams, you're not rooting for the player, you're rooting for the uniform. And with rare exception, the proof of what I'm saying is, you know, when players go to another team for more money, which people do every day in other, you know, in other livelihoods, right? The fan himself or herself would probably jump to another job if it was a much better income and situation. Yet when a player on their team does it, they'll boo him the next time because they're rooting for the uniform and now he has a different
good
one
point.
On. Good point.
I never thought of it that way. But yes, you and I, if we got a better offer somewhere, if our contract was expired, we might very well move.
And
there's no disgrace.
And yet fans, when it comes to the sports, they become irrational in the same context. They're saying, oh no, so what if he got more money? You know, he stays on my team. And I'll tell you, it's really
so when we come back, we'll ask about what the difference is between sports and everything else. You are listening to WVOX AM 1460, New Rochelle, New York. My guest is Bruce Apar. I am Bob Levinson. The program is Environmentally Sound. Debbie Schechter is waving her arms and telling me to take a break. So we will be right back.
And national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lillian Wu. A package sent to a university is linked to the Colorado theater killing.
Inside that package, a notebook where James Holmes detailed how he was going to kill, and it included drawings of the massacre.
Fox Radio's Jeff Manasso in Aurora.
The University of Colorado says the notebook arrived Monday, but a FoxNews.com source says the package addressed to a university psychiatrist arrived July 12th. And went unopened until after the shooting. People here say what's done is done, and they're focusing on healing.
On the jobs front, first-time claims for unemployment dropping to 353,000 last week. And in London, which is gearing up for the Olympics, Big Brother may be watching you, but he can't hear what you're saying in the back of a British taxi. The UK's information watchdog ordering a city council to stop the mandatory recording of people's conversations. Fox News, we report, you decide.
In the north end of New Rochelle, you'll find an absolutely top-notch printer, one of the very best in the entire county. Frank Maselli's Minuteman Press is known for its fine work far beyond the Sound Shore area. In fact, this particular Minuteman Press is easily the class of the fleet when it comes to full-service community printers. Located just off North Avenue in New Rochelle in the narrow Waikagil walkway across the parking lot from the A&P, Frank Maselli's Minuteman Press is a terrific resource for individuals and small to medium-sized companies who want something very special when it comes to printing. No matter how big or how small your needs, you get great skill and creativity from Maestro Maselli's master printers, all for very reasonable prices. From business cards to brochures, color copies, high-speed printing, informational booklets, and flyers, it's Minuteman Press. Down that walkway when you're heading to the A&P, offering quality printing at very good prices. Call Frank Maselli at Minuteman Press of New Rochelle, 914-576-0335. 914-576-0335.
We make it very easy for you to get on the air and talk to your neighbors.
Could someone talk to me?
And the world.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
The podium is yours.
Impressive.
AM 1460 and worldwide at WVOX.com.
1460 WVOX.
Okay. We are back, as Ernie Davis would say. We're here for the last roundup. We have another 10 minutes or so. We're talking about the difference between spending your time and energy on fan things like sports and whatever else. Some people are very invested in their religion and some in politics. But what is the difference actually between why are sports figures held to the different standard, to where we want our team to be a team? We want our Yankees, our Mets, our Red Sox to be the same team year after year and get better and get more competitive. We don't want all that change of personnel, even though, as you point out, many of us change jobs.
Well, because I think, high-profile athletes are surrogates, you know, for our own desires and aspirations. And I think the danger, again, not to, belabor the point, but the danger as the Penn State fiasco amply has illustrated, is that people take it too far. And then the question becomes, the more rabid you are about your team or about a particular player, does that mean that that's how much is missing in your life? Because why do you need that as self-fulfillment? I'm speaking, I will tell you, I probably am speaking, very sanctimoniously about it. And God forbid anybody else is in my situation. But the truth is, my son Harrison was a big sports fan. Once he passed away, I don't have the same ardor for following sports because I was following it through him. I was enjoying his being a fan. He's not here anymore. And so, I rarely go to Yankee Stadium, where I used to go all the time with him, but it's not the same for me. It just doesn't have the same enjoyment. And if they lose, they lose. I'd like them to win, but it's not the end of the world.
Well, I'd like them to lose, but if they win, it's not the end of the world either.
Well, unfortunately for you, Bob, they're winning an awful lot these days.
I know. But, I take it for granted they'll make the playoffs.
No, but so what I'm saying is the loss of my son sort of shifted my perspective profoundly when it comes to sports. Like, it's not that important.
How old? What did you say his name was?
Harrison. He was 15. Harrison had a rare form of dwarfism. He was a very smart kid. He was a straight-A student. He was a very good writer. They say nature compensates. In him, he was very witty. He was a good writer. He was a sports editor of his high school paper. He was like a sports encyclopedia.
But very diminutive, right?
He was about 3 feet tall, and it created dwarfism. And his form of dwarfism created heart and lung problems. So he had three open-heart surgeries.
Did he have a problem breathing as well?
Oh, no. He caught pneumonia very easily. He had restrictive...
I knew a child like that.
Right. He had restrictive lung disease,
He died about the same age. His kid, his name was Evan, I think, 13.
What, who had a growth condition?
He was very small.
Well, it's called the clinical term is skeletal dysplasia, which is a stunting of the bones,
I don't know what it was. Yeah. So I would guess that the organs just don't have room to...
Exactly, right. And he had a very rare form of dwarfism that they think may have been the same affliction. Remember the actor in Fantasy Island, Hervé Villechaize? Everybody remembers him, Deplane.
Yeah.
Well, Harrison actually had a certain resemblance to him, and his voice sounded like him, so they think he had the same condition.
But with a condition like that. Now, Village has lived until perhaps his 50s.
Yeah. No, but Harrison, there was another young man who was an actor on a soap opera. I forget his name. Timmy, I forget his name. I was in touch with his mother, actually. I spoke to her in California. And the exact same thing happened to him. He lived till about 15, and he had the same symptoms.
But you did know, doctors must have informed you of the life expectancy of...
Not exactly. His second surgery, he had a mitral valve, artificial mitral valve installed in his heart. A very well-known surgeon at Columbia Presbyterian, Dr. Jan Quagaber, did it, and he was known for very difficult surgeries, like this one. And yet Harrison's condition, again, was so unusual and unpredictable. A few years, 5 years later, the mitral valve moved. We went back to this doctor, Dr. Q, and he said these words to me, which, of course, I'll never forget. I don't think Harrison has a very bright future. That's when I knew, okay, this is not good. This is not good.
Understood, but when he must have been diagnosed as an infant.
No, but they it was not his life expectancy until that doctor, bluntly told us he doesn't have a bright future, which is a little bit euphemistic to say he's not going to live too much longer, whether he has the surgery or not. Otherwise, the life expectancy of, people who have dwarfism could be 50, 60 years old, normal life. Yeah. Yeah. So, but again, I like to mention, in Yorktown, in Westchester, there is a field named for him. It's called the Harrison Apar Field of Dreams, because that's
nice.
The extent to which he captured the community's heart.
Really?
Yeah. It was very, it's very nice to have that as a testimonial to who he was.
But it's a profound loss,
yeah.
Of course.
Well, yeah.
You were bonding with him in a special way because he was into sports and you two were...
Oh, no, we were, I know this is said in other cases, father and son, but we really were best friends, yeah. So not to get maudlin, but I remember the first time I drove by Yankee Stadium after he passed away. I was going to the airport. I sobbed like a baby just passing Yankee Stadium, but that's what it evoked in me, But it put into perspective for me, in the worst way, losing your son, put into perspective for me that, sports has a nice place in your life and you have to keep it compartmentalized. Don't let it take control of your emotions.
Well,
to the extent that it's also controlling your moods, inordinately. I mean, yes, you're going to be depressed when your team loses the World Series or whatever, but, you have to take it for what it is, put it aside and move on.
But that was in your case, but in Harrison's case, actually, sports were very important to him. And since he was physically limited, his
it's a very good point, Bob. Yeah, you're absolutely right. That meant
passion,
a lot to him. Yeah,
yeah.
Right. So, his ambition was to be an ESPN sportscaster. When he grew up. Yeah. So that's how much he loved it. Sure.
Huh. So we have a few minutes. What about the Penn State thing, since we're talking about sports? What that meant was I'm happy to see that the official NCAA body seriously penalized Penn State just for looking the other way when something like this was happening in their their yard.
Right, and it's like,
to me, football, okay, football. I don't watch college sports. I watch professional football from time to time. But I think that the example to be hit with a $60 million fine, to be banned from bowl games and postseason activity for 4 years, and to allow their athletes to come and go now, you're not bound to the school
right.
without penalty, keep your scholarship, you don't even have to play, a lot of good sanctions.
I agree.
To me, it was, okay, this is a bit of justice in a world where I hardly see justice. If you look at the political campaign now, where's any truth in this political campaign?
No, forget it. I know.
I know. What has happened to America?
Yeah. Well, I think we've become inured or immune to hearing things that really are meaningful and substantial in things like presidential campaigns. Something you could say, it's our fault that they're getting away with it. They're getting away with talking around things instead of talking. Two things, truth to power, as the cliche goes.
I don't take any responsibility for that. I'm too small. There's nothing I can do about it. We can have discussions on the radio and people listen, but there are people who call into the station regularly who are very rabid, let's say, right-wingers, and they think that Obama is the worst thing that happened to this country. Well, I have to suggest that on some level,
yeah,
because it's not his policies that are fairly decent. I have to say that there's racism going on.
Of course there is. Who's kidding who?
So, why don't we say it? Why don't the right wingers call in and say, I don't like Obama because he's black and we need a white president? Why do they make things up? Why do they say he's trying to take our guns away when he has not said a word about the NRA? And those who judge gun control, who advocates of gun control, have given Obama an F. He has done nothing about gun control.
Yeah, it's true.
But they say
that's true.
He's taken our guns away. Yeah. No, he hasn't.
Right.
And all his foreign policy decisions, I agree with.
Right.
He's helped the Arabs
work out in a
moderate way.
I'll tell you why. Because politics is a blood sport, and people will do anything to win. You know, they'll make things up. They'll lie.
What about people whose own best interest? I mean, people call in, Obama's trying to raise our taxes. Obama is simply trying to restore a system that made the wealthy over $250,000 pay more. The people who call in, Obama's raising taxes, they're not going to be affected at all by that.
I know.
Healthcare. How are you affected if somebody who doesn't have healthcare gets it?
No, but you know what the most revealing thing is in terms of this discussion that we're having is, you know, why do people who agree with MSNBC watch MSNBC or agree with Fox watch Fox News? You know why? Because they don't want to be challenged.
Right.
They want their own views to be reinforced. They're not interested in being challenged or into thinking really deeply.
Right. And in our case, you and I and Howard, who's coming on, Howard Sturman,
yes,
is in the House and he will be on. If there's somebody who's saying something on TV, a talking head, I don't say, I wonder if he's Democrat or Republican to know if I agree with him or not.
I agree. I don't care what party they belong
to. What does this man have to say?
That's why I don't belong to a political party. I'm not registered with any political party.
Same here. Yeah. Same here. Right. What does this person have to say, and does it make sense?
Right. Because what it is, too, with what you're saying before, is they play on people's fears when they're running for office.
Yes.
You know, instead of being positive and talking about how to enhance our quality of life, they play on our fears. It's demagoguery, really.
Yeah. Well, Bruce, we're coming to the end. It's been a pleasure seeing you.
Yeah, same here, Bob.
And,
thanks very much for having me.
It's a pleasure talking to you. More people need to have the open-mindedness that you have.
Yeah.
But I'd like to thank Bruce Apar for coming to our studios this morning. We had a great time acting together in Fools. Hope to do that again sometime.
Yes,
and,
me too.
I'm looking forward to appearing on your cable TV show as well. Our thought for the week, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Stay tuned to WVOX, your quintessential community radio station, the flagship of Whitney Radio and the best small station in the U.S. of A., perhaps the world. Next up, Howard Sturman. Howard is in the house, my main publishing man. Thanks to Bill O'Shaughnessy and Don Stevens for all you do. Special thanks to Bill O'Shaughnessy for his passionate defense of the First Amendment, even when he disagrees with those who exercise it. I am Bob Lebensold, chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. Thank you very much for listening. And remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle, except, of course, for Larry Goldstein. You are here. It is now. Health and happiness to you all.